Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. With your prayers and support, CWH is thrilled to continue broadcasting my dad, Pastor Salem's messages proclaiming the Word of God. We hope your friends and family can join us for this timeless program. We received a letter not long ago from a friend here in South Dakota. It reads, "I have enjoyed listening to Pastor Salem since he was a local church pastor. He has been multi-generational. Both my parents and grandparents were avid viewers of CWH. Now, let's open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 and join Dad for his message on how to pursue Christ and look forward to eternity. We hope you will be enriched by today's message. Christian, go for the gold. God bless you."
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week rolled by. God has given us another week. One of these days, the Lord's going to come again or maybe take us home. But here we are. And I always look forward to coming because I just feel like I know so many of you. I've never seen you. I've got your letters, and I know you're praying for us. And I just can't wait till we all gather together in glory and we'll see each other and meet each other and spend eternity together. Won't that be wonderful? We're looking at Psalm 97 today, where the psalmist writes, "For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all other gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Heavenly Father, we come to give thanks and praise to you. You're such a wonderful God. You care for us and you help us all through life. And to those who receive you, you have preparing a home for us over there. And we pray that everyone who listens to this service today, that every last one of them without exception, if they haven't done so before, that they'll ask you to come into their heart and take away their sin and pledge allegiance to follow you and to serve you. Oh, dear God, we pray that that'll happen. So now just bless us that everything we do and say will be an honor to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jan's going to sing for us today, "I'm Going to Live So God Can Use Me." And God bless you, Jan.
Your call. Teach me, Lord. Oh, send me, Lord. Use me,
Thank you, Jan. That's a prayer of every believer. Use me, Lord. And God has a plan for everyone. The first plan, part of the plan, is to accept Jesus as Savior. That's the first thing. And once we accept Him, He has a detailed plan for our life. And you say, oh, I've never been to seminary. I didn't graduate from college, and I don't have any degrees. And you know these degrees. They make such a big thing out of the degrees. I had an old professor tell me, he says, you know, a degree, getting a degree is just like a kink in a pig's tail. Looks awful good, doesn't add an ounce of pork. And so maybe you don't have degrees. Good for you. Doesn't matter. If you do, you don't. But we want to be used of the Lord. And God has a detailed plan for everyone who accepts Him. And so that's what our prayer is. We'll accept Him and walk with Him. Oh, our letters. Have to read some of our letters. I just love them, and we get them. We're so excited to hear from you. We hear from all over the world, and we share them with you. And so I hope more of you will write to us. And you get your pencil and paper a little while. I'll give you the address. But here's from one from Wichita, Kansas. Says, we have worshiped with you for about 6 years. We look to you as our church family. You feed our souls and touch our hearts. You guide and strengthen our spirits. We appreciate all you do to proclaim the gospel of the Lord to the entire world. Thank you for all you do. And so you know why we can do such great things? We're using the Bible. It's not that we're such great singers and preachers or anything like that. We're just everyday, ordinary people. But we use the Bible, the wonderful Word of God. And when we use the Bible and we teach the Bible, God takes the Holy Spirit, takes that and applies to hearts all over the world. And that's where the power is. It's in the Word of God. Here's San Jose, California. And as an expression of gratitude to Almighty God, please accept this gift of $25 for your Christian Worship Hour on TV. I seldom go to church since June 2011 because I had 3 strokes, but instead I watch the Christian Worship Hour on TV being led by a 96-year-old. I am now 87 years old. I got saved when I was 31. It was the happiest moment of my life. I'm a Filipino Christ in Christ Jesus. And, you know, I accepted the Lord when I was 10. Now, he's accepted the Lord when he was 31. And it is the day you'll never forget. And that was 86 years ago that I accepted Jesus. And it seems like it was just last night, as clear as a bell in my heart. And just a 10-year-old boy, and I asked Jesus, please come into my heart, dear Jesus, and take away my sin. I sinned against you, and I'll follow you the best I can. I've stumbled along a lot of ways, but always got back on track, Lord. By the grace of God, brought me back, and I'm walking with the Lord the best I know how. And then I thank Him. Thank you for saving my soul, dear Jesus. Beautiful letter, beautiful letter. Here's Friendswood, Texas. Oh, listen to this. Thank you for being on our TV ministry so that we can rejoice in the Word of God. Here it is. For my 85-year-old dad in Omaha, Nebraska, and me, his daughter, in Friendswood, Texas. Your insightful, honest preaching has been a light for us to keep in the Word. God bless the Christian Worship Hour, and know you're all loved very much. And so here's, we bring them together. Here's the dad. He's living in Omaha, Nebraska. daughter lives down there in Texas. But when the Christian worship hour, they're drawn together and they worship together. We hear a good number of times we hear of people where that's happening. Here's the Fiji Islands. That is from Aberdeen. It's 6,773 miles away. Just can you believe it? It's wonderful. And it says, praise the Lord, I am from Fiji. I love seeing your program on Daystar, the Christian Worship Hour. My family and I are born Christians since our grandparents also followed Christianity. We are requesting for some prayer as well as a Bible and some CDs. We have learned a lot from your program, such a strong meaning of Bible verses, how to pray and worship God, and many more. We are really blessed to watch your spiritual sermons. We are very grateful to hear from you. We'd be grateful to hear from you soon. And I can tell you, we wrote to them about the same day we got the letter. We're thrilled to death all over the world. And I thought when I heard that, here are Christian people on the Fiji Islands. And then we got one from Nigeria. And then we got one from Alaska. And it just made me think, all over the world, the people that accept Jesus are part of the family of God. And we're worshiping God. It doesn't matter what your culture is. Doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what you do. If you accept Jesus, we're part of the family of God. And someday we're going to have the whole family together in heaven. And John talks about that. And he says in Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us under our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And so here it is, this family of God all over the world. And someday we're going to be with the Lord, and he's going to rule, and we're going to rule with him in his great and wonderful kingdom. Oh, the gospel is so glorious, and it brings us all together in Jesus. But you have to accept Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It all hinges on one person, Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you're okay, you're safe. If you don't have Jesus, God have mercy on your soul. Come to Jesus if you haven't done so. Do it right now, this very minute. Let's see, here's Des Moines, Iowa. I'm a 77-year-old mother of six that I've raised by myself. I have known the Lord Jesus and has been with me for many years, through the hard times and the good times. I love how you preach the Bible. I felt like I've known you for a long time. I've watched your show now every week. I'm so thankful I found you. You're just what I need in my life. Thank you so much for the Christian Worship Hour. Praise the Lord, I found you in your show. And then we feel the same way about her. Same way. She says, it seems like I've known you for a long time. That's because we're one in the Spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ, we become a part of his body. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit. Here we are, a rotten, dirty sinner, and all our righteousness is like filthy rags. And the Holy Spirit takes us, and he baptizes us into the body of Christ, and we're pure and holy because we're in Christ. And we're part of the body of Christ. And we're scattered all over the globe, but it doesn't make any difference. We're part of that blessed body, and we have one head, Jesus Christ, and the rest of us are all a part of that body, serving the Lord and worshiping the Lord. Oh, it's glorious. It's glorious. Let's see, Chicago, Illinois. I'm a senior citizen and a shut-in, so each Saturday I look forward to hearing you preach. You are a man at age 96 and still in the pulpit. God will richly bless you, and I pray daily for your ministry. You betcha I'm still in the pulpit hanging on. And how long you gonna hang on? I'm gonna hang on till the Lord takes me home. And maybe he'll give me a stroke and shut my mouth. I don't know what he's gonna do. I know it'll be the right thing. I'm just happy in the Lord. And I'm gonna tell you something else. I'm an old man that's happy. And I'm gonna tell you something else besides that. There are no old men that are happy unless they have Jesus. That's all there is to it. So if you're old, you can come to Jesus. Not many old people come to Jesus. They get like a mutt set in a rut, and they just won't budge. They just sit there like Mount Rushmore. I come from Western South Dakota. Mount Rushmore doesn't move an inch. Doesn't move an inch. Just sits there. Rain or snow or dust make a difference. There's some people like that. They preach the gospel and runs off of them like water off a duck's back. But then there are some in old age, and they have their need, and they know Jesus loves them. He's given them another chance. And they pray, "Dear Jesus, I'm an old man. I'm an old woman now. And I want you in my life. I want to spend eternity with you. Dear Jesus, just come into my heart. I'm sorry for my sins. Wash my sins away." Use your own words. Just tell him about your sins. Maybe you want to name some of the bad sins. I don't know. And then you just say, "I'll turn from my sins. I'll live for you." Then thank you, Jesus. And then you pray that prayer and I'll see you in heaven. And won't we have a celebration? Well, here's Thompson Falls, Montana. Listen to this letter, folks. This is a dear brother writing this. I just wanted to thank you for everything you've done for us. He's talking about him and his sister. When you talked to my sister, Pat, and she asked the Lord to come into her heart through you, we were so happy. Pat died of a heart attack on Easter Sunday, and I know she's now in heaven with our Lord. God bless you, as you've always been there for me. And I tell you what we did with Pat. We prayed over the telephone. She prayed to accept Jesus over the telephone. And this, her brother, did the same thing. And if you want to help, have some help talking about Jesus, accepting Jesus, you call us. It's on our website. You call us and I'll pray with you. You can pray to accept Jesus. I've done it a good number of times. And then one other letter, St. Joseph, Missouri. Thank you for the inspiration. I've only been watching since November. I appreciate seeing you every Sunday morning. Since I'm on Social Security, this is all I can afford to send. I hope this helps. And I wrote to this lady already, thanked her for the gift and told her, most of our gifts are small. And then I told her something more important than money is prayers. And if you don't have any money, you pray. That's more important than money. Just pray. And God will bless and use us. Oh, thank you for the letters. But now before I go on, Hank is here. Hank's been with us since we started almost 40 years ago. He's a good, faithful brother. And he's going to sing a song entitled, No, he's not going to sing yet. Forget it, Hank. Hold that. And he's going to give us a message, just a special announcement. God bless you. That's when you're 96. That's what happens. God bless you, Hank.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Over the past month, we've been telling you about the Christian Worship Hour film, Heart of a Shepherd, that's now available on DVD from the Christian Worship Hour. It's the inspirational story of a life devoted to sharing the eternal promises of God that are available to all who call on the name of Jesus Christ for salvation and for a place in his kingdom. It's the story of Pastor Salem's lifelong ministry. I'd like to offer you an opportunity to become an active participant in this ministry, to become a missionary right where you are. How so, you say? Well, share the film with family members or friends, especially the unchurched. Share the film with your church or Sunday school class. If you live in a retirement center, share the film as part of your activities program. If you're in a nursing home, share the film during your devotional time or church service. If you're a part of a Bible study group, share the film with them. These are just a few examples and possibilities. I'm sure you can think of many more. You can order Heart of a Shepherd, by sending a free will offering to the Christian Worship Hour, Post Office Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or you can order it online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Thanks. God bless.
And thank you, Hank. God bless you. And that's the purpose of this film, is to bring people to Jesus, come to Jesus. That's what our whole Christian worship hour is about, bringing people to the Lord Jesus. Well, we'd like to hear from you. And if you want to write to us, you can get us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to, you can send a gift over the internet, christianworshiphour.com. There's a place there to donate, and you can help us. So we appreciate that. And if you want to have our little Bible study, it's a special Bible study, a different one each month. This month of June is the Bible studies on that I might know Jesus, that I might know Jesus, be like Jesus. And I know it'll help you. It'll bless you. And you just ask for the new song. You write to us for the new song. And then I want to also encourage you to just to pray for the Christian Worship Hour, because we want to bring people to know Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's what we want to do. We want to comfort God's people, and we want to speak to encourage people and all of that. But you have to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. So our prayer goes out for you for that. And then I also want you to know that our only source of income is God's people. And so you need to pray about it. Ask God if you should do it or not. And if he says yes, then ask him how much and just follow through. And you don't need to worry how the money is spent, because we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. Every year they audit those books. They just about drive you crazy. They're all over the place, just like ants. But everything is checked, and we account for every penny we get and every penny we spend. It's just for to carry on God's word. So let me give the address one more time, especially for our folks that are on shortwave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray. And you give as the Lord lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts from your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, Jan. We're reading from Philippians chapter 3, beginning with the 7th verse. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted Christians in Ethiopia. And Philippians chapter 3 reads, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things. I count them as dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture, and we pray that we may have the same goal, the same aim that St. Paul had, and that was to put that one mark, keep our eye on that one mark, and that mark is the dear Lord Jesus Christ. We know that you've called us to service, and so we want to give all that we have to carry on that work and to finish that course that you set before us, that we may all become true. When we come to you, where you can hear us say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Dear Lord, we're praying for our dear brothers and sisters today in Egypt, and we pray that you'll just watch over them and help them. We just thank you that you'll comfort their hearts and help them to know that we think about them, and we're praying for them, Lord, and standing by. And someday when we get into glory, we'll get to see these people who gave their lives for you, who bowed their head and died, and gladly so, because they were counted worthy to suffer for you. And Lord, may we have that same mindset, that same heart, that we give everything we have to you and honor you in all things. We pray now you'll bless this service and use it to honor your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Hank's going to sing for us "At Calvary," and God bless you, Hank.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There, my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great, grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. At Calvary.
Thank you, Hank. You can never sing too much about the cross. And that's where we found our liberty. That's where we found our joy. And that's where we found everlasting life, because Jesus went to the old rugged cross, shed his blood to pay for our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And it took the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to pay for our sins. And though he was buried and in the grave 3 days and 3 nights, He was raised again, and we're going to be raised again. We all have loved ones who've gone on. God's going to come back and raise those bodies and unite them with the spirit and soul, and we'll see them again. But it's all through Jesus. You have to have Jesus. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he got narrow. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have to have Jesus. And you have him by asking him into your heart. That's our prayer. Well, you know what I'm going to preach about today? I'm going to preach about Christian go for the gold. And when I say that, what do you think about? Olympics. Sure as the world, don't you? You know, St. Paul had the Olympics in his day. They were running the Olympics then. And a lot of places in the Bible, he talks about sports. And he talks about things that you'd see in the Olympics. For instance, he talks about it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15 is what he says. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. And then he goes on, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark, toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so Paul is saying, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul is saying, I have not yet attained. He's saying, I have not yet laid hold on. I have not yet arrived. He's saying, I am striving for something like they do in the Olympics. I am striving to acquire, to accomplish this, but I'm not there yet. I'm on the way. I'm working on it. Paul is saying, I'm not yet perfect. I'm working on it. I'm pressing toward that mark. But what does Paul mean by perfection? He cannot mean his state in Christ, because that is perfect. When we accept Jesus, our state in Jesus is perfect, and we will be there forever. And that'll never change. And it is perfect. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. It's just like you have a sponge in a bucket of water. Is the sponge in the water, or is the water in the sponge? And when we accept Jesus, our state is perfect. We're settled. We're in heaven. But he's talking about his earthly life. And he says, I haven't attained perfection there in my perfect life. He says, that's another story with my perfect life. And he says, I'm pressing for, I'm reaching for, I'm straining for, I'm working in this present life. He's working toward the perfection that is seen. It's of having a full knowledge of Christ. He's where he has a full knowledge of Christ. He's striving to have perfect communion with Christ. He's having a full and perfect conformity to the will and the mind of Christ. He's striving to know the mind of Christ and be exactly like Jesus. He's talking about having spiritual maturity and moral maturity. He is saying, I've not reached that point yet. I'm reaching for it. I'm striving for it, my brethren, but I'm not perfect. Then Paul goes on. He says, one thing. He has one great aim in life, and he's not going to be sidetracked onto any other avenues. One thing, and that is he's striving after perfection with Jesus Christ. He says, I'm striving, have one thing in mind, I want to be like Jesus. That's my goal in life. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm here for. And so that's what Paul did. He set his eye on a goal. He had one goal. He couldn't see anything else but that one goal. All the activities about him were blotted out of his mind. He can only see one goal, this one goal. Thing I do. And that's what we have to do, friend. We can't be doing a dozen different things, like a dog chasing a rabbit and another rabbit and another rabbit, and he doesn't get anything. And Paul is saying there's this one thing we have to do, this decision to make to be one thing. Well, you saw it in the life of Dwight L. Moody. Changed his life so that instead of doing a lot of things, he just did one thing. And the thing that changed his life was the tragedy of the Chicago fire of 1871. Before 1871, before that fire, Moody was involved in Sunday school promotion. He was involved in the YMCA. He was doing evangelistic meetings. He had a lot of other things going. But after that fire, Dwight L. Moody had only one thing in mind, and that was evangelism, to bring people to Jesus Christ. That's the Christian Worship Hour. That's my goal. That's our goal, of everyone out here, and that is to bring people to Jesus Christ. We've got this film we've been talking about promoting, that you'll use it because it's bringing people to Jesus Christ. That's what we have in mind. Christians need to do that one thing. They need to run the good race, and that alone, and don't let anything hinder them. You see, the winner, the runner, winners in the race do one thing. They fix their eye on a goal. You see them in the Olympics. They have one goal. They don't turn around looking what's behind them. They don't look at the countryside and what's happening about them. They run the race, and they run the race alone. They have one thing in mind. They don't see anything else but that one goal, and that's what they run and work for. Like Nehemiah, you remember Nehemiah came to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and they wanted him to come down and do one thing or another. And in Nehemiah 6, verse 3, this is what he said, "I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down." And that's what the Bible tells, James tells us. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, James 1, 12. Concentration is a secret power. Make your life count for one thing only, Jesus Christ. Then he goes on and he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Not that he doesn't remember those things, because some of those things are always going to be in your mind. But he's saying, I'm not going to fix my mind on the things of the past. I'm not going to live in the past. He says, the poor souls are totally living the past. That's all they talk about. They talk about and then it hurts them. They've done some things that they wish they wouldn't have done. They might have, things they might have done, or things they should have done and didn't do. Maybe how you raised your children. Maybe I didn't spend enough time with the children. That gets to me. How they could have been more careful in their living. How they could have been stronger in some temptation. You can think of a thousand things in the past, and all they do is deter you. And Paul is saying, don't live in the past, because that's the devil's trick. You think of something we did in the past, and it bothers us, and we can't do anything about it, and the devil knows we can't change anything about it. We can't do a thing about it, and so the devil throws it in our face, and we're helpless. And Paul is saying, you're not going to do that with me. The things of the past I'm putting past. Paul could see that Christian is like he's drug into court, and Satan is throwing these things at him. And Paul is saying, I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to put the past behind me. I'm going to live for the present. I'm going to live for the Lord. Listen to Paul give an account of some of the things that he had in his past. He's talking to the, giving his account. He's speaking to King Agrippa. And he says in Acts 2, 26, 9 to 11, he says, I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue. I compelled them to blaspheme. Being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto foreign cities. Paul is saying, look at my past. I'm putting the past behind me. That's not saying that he's erasing them from his memory, because there's some things you can't take from the memory, but don't let them consume your life. Don't live on them. I'm sure that Paul thought of the past when he was at Lystra and he was being stoned. He's going to stone him to death at Lystra. And while that's happening, he thinks back at Jerusalem and he sees godly Stephen, and he stood there and let him die, and he died. I'm sure the past came to him, and I'm sure he could see some poor dear young woman come fall at his feet and beg let her husband live. Let him live. Don't put him in prison. Don't take his life. But he did it anyway and made orphans of the children. He had a terrible past, and Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, put the things behind you. I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to forge ahead. And so he says, don't let the past destroy the present. Put your eyes on Jesus. And so then he says, it goes on, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Or that is, he strains forward to what lies ahead. He's thinking about what he's got to do now. He's not going to live about what happened there to Lystra or what had happened to Jerusalem or on the road to Damascus. He is thinking about the future. Reaching forth, he says, he strains toward what lies ahead. The verb here is very descriptive. And one of the Bible scholars says it means to call to mind the attitude of a runner on the course who, with the body bent forward, hand stretched to the fore, eye fixed on the goal, strains forward with the utmost exertion in pursuit of his purpose. And St. Paul presses toward that goal. And he says in the 10th verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He's saying, I press. I'm moving toward that. I'm working toward that. That's my goal in life. That's all I think about. It's the same verb used in verse 12. It says, I follow after. It has the thought of intense endeavor. And you watch them run the Boston Marathon. You watch them in the Olympics. And sometimes they collapse at the end of the run. With their last breath, they reach out maybe with that hand and they fall to the ground. They don't have anything else in mind. They don't know who's there. They don't know what the temperature is. They don't know what the sky is like. They don't know what a thing about them except that goal, that one thing, and that's the Christian Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You remember Peter when he walked on the water and he kept his eyes on Jesus. But you know the story. The wind came up and the wind came up and the storm clouds rolled in and the waves came high. And he got scared and he looked at the circumstances of life and he began to sink, took his eyes off Jesus. And Paul is saying, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I've got my eyes on Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to go here and I'm not going to go there. And I'm not going to let the good be the enemy of the best, because a lot of good things I could do, but the best thing I can do is serve Jesus. Follow Jesus. That's what he's pounding through our head. And he wants to win the gold. And the beautiful thing is this, every Christian can run in that race. Now, I read about these people getting some of these races, and they train, and they train, and they train. And if they don't train, they won't be able to run the race. Well, they have to be young, and I got a walker, so how am I going to run in the Boston Marathon or something of that? I can't possibly do that. But in this running for Christ, straining for Christ, the goal with Christ, I can do with my walker, and you can do it in your sick bed. And you may not be able to get out of bed and you may not get out of your chair, but you keep your eyes on Jesus and just live for Jesus. And I talk to people all the time, visiting in homes, nursing homes and such, and they'll say, why am I here? Why was I born? What am I doing in life? I can't help anybody. I'm just a dead weight to so many people. What can I do? And I'm going to tell you, friends, you are here. If you're here, it's because God wants you here, and he's got you here so you can do something, and you can do something. You can pray, and you can witness. And what better witness to have somebody? We had a letter from one man, a paraplegic, 50 years. And he's talking about how he's going to, looking forward, he's going to dance in heaven. And I send him a letter and says, I got a walker. I'll put my walker aside and we'll dance together. And he sends him on the email with some little people dancing. Here he is, a paraplegic, 50 years. And what is he doing? Well, he's witnessing for the Lord. And I tell you something, friends. The fact that he's a paraplegic makes his witness all the more powerful. because most people would be crying their eyes out and feeling sorry for their little old selves. But he's rejoicing in Jesus, and he's winning people to Christ. He can't take a step, but he's witnessing for the Lord. That's what Paul is talking about. He says, get your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And he says this wonderful thing. If you just do it well, like the psalmist put it like this. He says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. That's the way we have to live. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27, Paul warns the believers, we must practice this, we must practice rigid self-control to do that. We must set our minds and our hearts at it. We must not turn to the right or to the left. And the world will entice us with 1,000 different things. And the devil, if he sees us doing things for the Lord, he'll fight us every way he possibly can. But it only makes us stronger, only draws us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you run that race. And always keep this in mind. There's going to be a judgment seat. In Romans 14, verses 10, 11, and 12, there's going to be a judgment seat. And that isn't to see if you get into heaven. When you accept Jesus Christ, you're going to get into heaven. John 5, 24 tells us plain as day, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And when you accept Jesus, you have eternal life and you will never lose it. And if you want a little book on it, we'll send you one. If you can send a little offering to help us, all right. But we'll give you the address in just a minute. But you can live for the Lord. But when we accept the Lord, we are born again. But then how do we use our talents and our gifts? Are we all really on the firing line for the Lord? Are we doing what we can for the Lord? And so there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. It's given to us in Romans 14, 10 to 12. It's called a judgment seat, and it judges us not to see if we get into heaven. That's all settled. But it's going to be, how did you run the race? Did you give it everything you had? All that money entrusted to you, all that talent God has given you, all that time God has given to you, has that been used for the advancement of the kingdom and the honoring of Jesus Christ? Have you carried that and done the very best? And if you hear it, God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. In the Olympics, only one can win the gold, only one. But in the spiritual Olympics, you can all win gold, every one of us. And I can't tell you how you're running, and you can't tell me how I'm running. And you shouldn't, and I shouldn't, because there's one judge, Jesus. And he knows that heart. And we've made a lot of mistakes. I've made a lot of blunders in my life. And I've gotten off of that beaten path more than once and drifted away and gotten lukewarm. It's happened to me more than once. But God never gave up on me, and he loved me. And he opened his arm to me, and like the prodigal son, I came back. And when I came back, his arms were wide open. And I'm going to tell you, he'll do the same for you. Maybe you're drifted away today. It's easier to do. The devil has a lot of ways of doing it. You just come back, tell Jesus you want back on that racetrack. You want Jesus the center of your life, and you can use your time to run for Jesus. And he'll take you back every time. He never turned anybody away. Jesus never turned anybody away. People turned him away, and they didn't come to him because they thought the price was too much, or they were too proud, or they thought their works were good enough, or they wouldn't listen to what he had to say. They left Jesus, but Jesus never left them. He wants you to come. So today, maybe you've drifted away. You want to come back. And God tells us, my grace is sufficient for thee. And it doesn't matter what your sins, you come back, I'll take you back. But maybe you've never ever come to Jesus. And that's what we do in the Christian worship hour. Over and over and over and over we tell you, just make that prayer the penitent in your own way. Maybe you say, I don't know how to pray. I don't know the thee and the thous. I never prayed in my life. Well, prayer is just talking to God the Father. Talking to Jesus, and just tell him, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come in and heart into my heart. Take away my sins. Write my name. When you do that, he'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll never go to hell. You'll always belong to him. You're a part of his body. And the part of no, God's never going to have part of his body in hell. They'll be in heaven. You'll be in glory with them. And you come to Jesus and just ask him for the first time. And then if you may be on beds of sickness today, maybe you're shut-ins, maybe you can't get around, maybe you're like some people, they can't get out to church, so we can worship with them. And so you just tell him, dear Jesus, I'm going to shine for you. I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. Be like some of the prisoners. We hear from people in prison. And I always tell them, St. Paul was in prison. And when he was in prison, he witnessed. And he won people to Christ when he was in prison. You can do the same thing. And then we send them literature. We hear from a lot of people, all people in prison, all over. We hear from shut-ins. We get people from, they can't get out anymore. And you can just walk with the Lord. You can call friends and talk to them about the Lord. You can write them notes, little letters. You can pray for the work of the church, work of your church, and the work of the Lord. Get your eyes on Jesus. You never saw an Olympian run that race looking backwards. You never saw him carrying a suitcase or a big sack on his back. He strips down and he gives everything he has to that one thing. Run that race. Win that race. Keep Jesus in your sight. That's the spiritual Olympics. Keep the Lord in mind. Don't let Satan come and make you doubt. Don't let him make you put things off. Give him everything you got. And every step you get closer to Jesus, he'll give you more strength and he'll be more real. Life will be worth living. And I don't say you'll get rich and I don't say you'll get healed. You maybe not get healed. St. Paul wasn't healed. He had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. He had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times that God would take it away. And God said, Paul, don't you ask me anymore. I'm not going to heal you. Paul died with that thorn in the flesh. He doesn't heal everybody. And so you just say, if you don't get healed, you say, then, dear Lord Jesus, I love you, and I'll serve you, and I'll be like that man, paraplegic 50 years, and he's still there, witnessing for Jesus, loving Jesus. Now, if you accept the Lord, you make that prayer, or you come back to Jesus, you write to us, and we'll send you some literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you'd like the new song, and this month, it's about being like Jesus, see? Be like Jesus. That's my song all the day long. Sing for Jesus. Walk with Jesus. And you, and Joseph, the new song. It's free and postpaid. And if you can help us in with a gift, we need to have your help. We got to pay our way just like anybody else. And that we wouldn't have it any other way. Jesus isn't a beggar. We'll pay our way. But our only source of income is God's people. So you pray about it. And then you send it to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to, you can send a gift on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. It's a miracle, but it works. And we can use it to pay our way and to carry our way. So we're just praying that all of you help us. And if you all always remember that we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, an international organization that checks all of our books. It'll all go right where it's supposed to go. So now let's just pray a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the multitudes that are coming to you right now. All over the world, they're praying to coming to you. And you're rejoicing in heaven as they come to you. We thank you for those who drifted away and they've come back. We thank you for the young people. Thank you for the children. Thank you for the adults, Lord. We thank you for those who are on beds of sickness and those who are on wheelchairs. Those who are aged and infirm. You love and you're just as close to them as you are to any of us. You are in them and you said you'd never leave them or forsake them. Give them that peace and joy that only Jesus can bring. And bless us all and use us all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to thank you for this wonderful time together. And as I say at the start of the service, I always look forward to the weekend because I get to talk to you. You can see me, except those of you on shortwave. You're in the dark too, just like we are at this end. But you can see us. But just think of this. When you come to Jesus, you're born again, and we're going to see you in heaven. And we're going to see, and we'll see where you used to live and what you used to do and some of the troubles and trials of life and then all the glories of heaven. And we're going to sing around the throne of God from every culture and every nation, every kindred, every tongue. It doesn't matter. It's the same one Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, that good shepherd of the sheep who cares for his sheep and who holds us in his hand, and we will never perish. Neither will any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. What a glorious gospel you've given us. And it's all because of Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And so help us to make him the center of our life. Help us to think only of him and never take our eyes off Jesus till we see him face to face. And that could happen any minute. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.